Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Brace. Brace is listening in Tyler, Texas. Hi, Brace.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good talking to you. I had a question. I heard today a different perspective about how the weather plays in a part with angels, to sum it up. And in Job 1, where I believe I read that, I don't know if God handed everything over to him, but Satan controlled the weather. And my question was, how does that all intertwine in the weather? Because it's, I don't know if that's necessarily God or the angels, or if it's just something as in gravity that is set forth and just happens. Because when something as Katrina happens or something of that nature, people always say, why God, or blame God. I just want to know what your thoughts are about that.
Well, remember, we live in a cursed creation. And so there's an old order of things that we're experiencing. In the future, there's going to be a new order of things in which there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In the old order of creation, the cursed creation, we all get sick, and eventually we all die. The earth itself has been corrupted, and therefore there are natural catastrophes that happen. But let me assure you, there's nothing in the whole of Scripture to suggest that Satan can control the weather. He most certainly cannot control the weather. In fact, in Job, it is not Satan that is controlling the weather. It is God that is controlling the weather. Remember, if you read Job chapter 2, you have a clear indication that God himself says, you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. And then Satan says in response to God, but stretch out your hand and strike his flesh, and he will certainly curse you to your face. And then later on, Satan goes out from the presence of the Lord and afflicts Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. All of that is contextualized by Satan inciting God to ruin Job, even though Job is a man of integrity.
So in that case particularly, I know it's set for us as an example, but for example, if something was to happen, it's raining where I am. Did God control that? Of course, I knew he knew that, but is he setting forth the, as we call it, Mother Nature?
Well, God is in control of all things, of course, but what I'm saying is we live in a cursed creation, and therefore the catastrophes that take place are part of the curse, just as the fact that people contract cancer is part of the curse. And I don't think we have any warrant whatsoever if someone contracts cancer to say that was God placing a curse upon that person. We don't know the purposes of God. We don't know what's happening in the heavenlies. I mean, that's one of the things we learn from the book of Job as well. As you read the book of Job, the one thing we recognize immediately is that God actually chastises Job for one thing, and that is Job wants to know why. Job wants to know what's happening in the heavenlies, and God says, you can't understand what's happening in the heavenlies. Trust me, that's the whole point.
Right. One more thing. I haven't had a chance to read your book yet, but it's real quick. Will there be, I know there won't be mad catastrophes or anything of that nature, but do you think there'll be rain and weather and everything of that nature and the new heaven and the new earth, will that still be a part of that, or will that be taken away as well?
Well, it's not going to be a cursed creation. We don't know exactly what it will be, but it will be perfected. It will be as God intended to be before sin entered the world. So we are going to be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and we can't even say precisely what that entails. I mean, if you think about a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, the caterpillar could never imagine what it would be like to have a proboscis or wings or eyes that have a sense of color acuity that exceeds even that of a human being, when prior to that, as a caterpillar, it could only distinguish between black and white, between light and dark. So it's amazing what happens in metamorphosis, and even more amazing to imagine what is going to happen when we are resurrected in the new heavens and the new earth. And again, we don't know exactly what the earth will look like any more than we know what we will look like or be like. We'll be the same physically, but we're certainly going to be different organizationally. And I'm sure that's the case with the new heavens and the earth as well.
So that's one of those many questions where you don't scream, as you say, when the Bible's silent, and you can't make an exact theological deduction from it?
Exactly. What we do know is nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as I quoted earlier from Revelation chapter 21, in the new order of things, there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. So we know that the earth that is now cursed will be relieved from that curse. And Paul actually explains that in Romans chapter 8, where he says that the earth is now groaning in travail and it's awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. So no more decay, no more catastrophes. All will be in order and governed by the very one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence to begin with.
Thank you, Hank. I sure appreciate you and your team. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks, Brace. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Steve. He's listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Thank you for taking my call. I can't believe I got through.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Here it goes, Hank. You have been doing the Bible Answer Man for decades, and I'm a relatively new Christian. I've been a Christian for about, well, it doesn't matter in this case, but more than 5 years, and I'm learning.
Uh-huh.
I want to ask you if there's, given your ministry with the Bible Answer Man, if there's one or two or three key pieces of Scripture that over the years, with your personal journey with Christ and your journey with the Bible Answer Man answering hundreds of thousands of questions, if there's maybe two or three key passages that just keep coming to your spirit as, I'm going to call them watershed moments in your personal growth with Christ.
Yeah, there certainly is. I mean, if you look at one of my favorite passages, it's Proverbs chapter 3, which says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. I mean, just think about that. Nothing you desire compares with her. And wisdom is the application of knowledge. So Jesus takes this very notion and in the Sermon on the Mount says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who founds his house on a rock. So the winds come, the rains come, but nothing happens to the house because it's founded on the rock. But the foolish man, he doesn't apply wisdom. He can hear wisdom, but he doesn't have knowledge because he's not applying that wisdom in any kind of active way. And that's the one thing that always strikes me as I do the broadcast, as I live my life, is that you can have lots of knowledge, but unless you apply it in the daily cauldron of living life, that knowledge can actually be deadly, because you can become like a Pharisee, puffed up with pride, a lot of information, but having no life within. And so the application is what allows us to experience life. And I think if there's one thing that has been transformational, it is that notion that truth matters, but life matters more, which is to say that the light bulb has nothing going for it if it is no longer connected to the electrical current. That current is what gives the light its light. And so we too must live an engrafted life, not a life of knowledge, but a life of Christ. It's not a changed life, but an exchanged life. Now, truth matters. And our whole ministry is predicated on the notion that truth matters. We do what we do because truth matters. But life is critically important. That's why Paul says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, he says, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
The light bulb's an excellent metaphor. Thank you for that.
You're welcome, and I appreciate your call, and I pray that you will continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Hank. Have a good night.
You got it. We'll be right back in just a moment with more answers.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rod in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Rod.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? First time caller here.
Nice to talk to you.
I've got a question for you. Do we know the answer to this one? Why did God create all the universes?
Well, I don't think he created universes. In fact, the whole idea of a multiverse, I think, is completely ad hoc. But he certainly created a universe with hundreds of billions of galaxies and hundreds of billions of stars.
Okay. I've been going through the Bible, and I know that he is Alpha and Omega, and he's the creator of everything. And I know that there's a reason why he created everything. And as far as all of the different galaxies, do we know the reasoning behind that?
Well, first of all, think about the fact that God is infinite, infinite in wisdom, infinite in power. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. So if you think of the majesty of God, you would suspect that what he created would be majestic as well. If you think of irreducible complexity in biological systems, or you think about the sun, moon, and stars, you have, in essence, a reflection of the grandeur and the prowess of the God who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So I think it is a reflection of the greatness of the God that we serve.
Okay. I'm a simple person.
Well, we're all simple people, but, you know, this is one of the things that I think ought to give everyone pause. So often when we talk about Jesus Christ, we speak about him in cavalier fashion, but they fail to recognize that the evidence points to the fact that Jesus is God. And so he's not only the one who knit us together in our mother's wombs, but he's the one who was able to create all things by his power, and that ex nihilo, out of nothing. So it gives us a sense of reverence when we invoke the name of Jesus Christ. It causes awe. If Jesus Christ were to appear in the studio in the next millisecond, I can promise you one thing. I wouldn't simply glance at him in cavalier fashion. I would be prostrate before him. Again, I think this is one of the failures of our modern-day epic. We treat Jesus Christ as though he's nothing special, when in essence, nothing could be farther from the truth.
Oh, most definitely. Hey, thank you very much. And Hank, it was a pleasure speaking with you.
You as well. Thank you for calling. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Mike. He's listening in Fresno, California. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well.
Good. Yeah, Hank, my question is, I haven't read the whole Bible book. I'm almost completely through it. But as I recall, I can't find anywhere it says how old the earth is. Is there anywhere in the Bible I might miss where it says how old the earth is?
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you want to know the age of the universe, you're not going to find the answer in special revelation. If you want to answer the question, you have to look at general revelation. And of course, Paul talks about general revelation in Romans, where he says that God's eternal power and divine majesty are clearly seen through what has been made, so that men are without excuse, which is echoing what David said in the Old Testament, where he iterated that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands, day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. So, yeah, there's certainly lots of information to demonstrate that God created the universe and that the universe is an awesome thing, but there's nothing in the Bible that actually tells us the age of the universe. Again, that is left to general revelation.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because one time my brother and I, just before we went out and started up our the worship band, we were kind of discussing that, and he said, you know, I think there's only been here probably 3,000 years. I go, no, I think it's been around a lot longer than that.
Well, I mean, if you just look at various things in general revelation, for example, you look at the night sky, and this is not inference, as sometimes you have to make with respect to biology. You look at the night sky, you can see a star in infancy. You can see a star in midlife. And then you can see a white dwarf star that's burned out its nuclear fusion. And you can estimate how long that takes, very much like one can estimate how many miles you go in a tank of gas. I actually have an indicator in my car. When I fill it up, it tells me how many miles I've got. And I know that when I've gone those miles, I'm going to have to fill up again. And this gives us a basic idea of how you can measure things. And we know the rate at which stars burn out their energy load, as it were. And so you can, on that basis, determine how long that star has been around before it became a white dwarf star. And that's, again, as you correctly say, not measured in thousands of years. It's measured in billions of years.
Yeah, I think the scientists have got a pretty good perception on that. What's really interesting, out of everything that I've read in the Bible, it's interesting that back in the days of Columbus, they weren't sure. Everybody thought the Earth was square, but if they had read in Hosea tells you that the Earth is round.
Yeah, and actually it doesn't really talk about sphericity. I mean, it could be like a disc if you're going to read those passages in a wooden literalistic fashion. The Bible is not a science text. It isn't designed to tell us whether there's sphericity or not. But having said that, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that the Earth is round. And there's nothing in the Bible to suggest that the Earth was flat. And certainly at the time of Columbus, people understood the sphericity of the Earth. So the idea that people used to at that time believe in a flat Earth on the basis of their biblical perceptions is simply wrong. It's just misguided. It's just flat wrong. They didn't. They knew about the sphericity of the Earth.
Yeah. Well, given if there's any theological factor to it, it's still interesting that if there is some science data, to me, which is offered in that particular scripture. So I found that fascinating. But anyway, thanks for answering my question. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. And I wrote about this whole idea of flat earth mythology in the Creation Answer book. But I point out that the moniker flat earth is propaganda, and that this notion that the men who were with Columbus had raw courage in the face of the possible mortal terror of sailing over the edge of a flat earth is simply propaganda. What we're largely unfamiliar with is that far from fanatics clinging to flat earth mythology, unanimous scholarly opinion from Augustine to Aquinas pronounced the earth spherical. Furthermore, the notion that evolutionary man is more enlightened than early man is the vestigial prejudice of Darwinist dogma. And while modern man has an accumulation of knowledge that has produced innovations, the notion that the genius that produced pyramids suddenly became benighted when they stared at a night sky is simply false. I write about that much more, again, in the Creation Answer book. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Nicole, Fort Riley, Kansas. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you. Nice to talk to you.
I have a question. It's not like just need confirmation on something. I was having a debate with one of my friends, and my personal belief, and I know I believe in Jesus, and I believe Jesus is the Son of God, but I believe Jesus is the actual Word of God. And I'll say this, and I'm saying this why I believe this, because I know in the beginning, you know, God created man in His image, and I believe His image, you know, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, God, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And I believe that and when the Bible passages say that the only way through God is through the Son, to Jesus Christ, which is His Word, and when Jesus was born, I believe that God spoke the words into Mary, and the Son was born.
But that's not what the text says. I mean, if you look at John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the text tells us that the Word became flesh. Not only that, but the Word that is described by John is the Word that is described by Paul as the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, the one who is before all things, and all things were created by him for him. So he is the creator of all things. He's not a word spoken by God. He is, in fact, God, existed with God in the beginning. With that, we're going to call this show to a conclusion. We pray that you'll stand with us prayerfully and financially. Give with a grateful heart, not out of compulsion, but give as you've been given in remembrance of the greatest gift of all. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, as always, resource consultants are ready to take your call at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Again, thank you so much for your prayers and your support. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.